This is Phil Ferrand, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is actually a little early on Thursday today. It's only about 2:30. I'm turning on the air conditioning because it's a little warm. But we are sort of between projects a little bit, and there's no point in me spending the company's money when I could go home and work on my own projects. So I'm in the process of heading home for that because I only have about 5 more days. I think my estimate last week was a little high. I only have about 5 more days on my 30-day free trial, and I'm close on my super secret project. I just really need a little extra time so that I can get a print ordered and we can see how that goes. This is episode 63. I do have to apologize because I didn't get episode 62 uploaded last week. I got it recorded and I got it saved to the hard drive at the server, and then I didn't actually publish it. Things were a little busy. I was actually a little blasted is not the word, because that implies that I was drunk or a drug addict or something. But I was running on a lack of sleep last week. I mentioned that in passing, but I didn't mention why. We will get to that in a moment. And because I was a little lacking of sleep last week, I didn't actually hit one of my punchlines when we were talking about women and their bodies and a male perspective on all that. And one of the punchlines was, I had mentioned that I have a friend whose sister apparently is suffering from anorexia. And she's being monitored at this point to make sure she's getting enough calories to sustain the amount of activity she has during the day. And I said to him, after we talked about for a while, there was a couple of different things that I had said to him. You know, first of all, the sad thing is that while she will not believe it, the fact of the matter is the human body works really well if you'll just put the fuel in it that it's supposed to have. You know, the problem with weight is a problem of malfunctioning fuel. We're feeding stuff to our bodies, for the most part. Obviously, some people have some chemical imbalances that cause problems, but for the most part, what we're doing is we're putting fuel in our bodies that is not what our bodies are designed for, and because of that, our bodies put on weight. Now, certainly, exercise is good for the body, and it helps our mental state, and it helps our muscles, and all those kind of things, but when it comes to the specific malfunction that is the body adding extra weight and adding extra fat, it all comes down to what you put in your mouth. And so some women react to this by simply not putting anything into their mouth. That's their solution. They starve themselves, or putting very little into their mouth. But in fact, that's not the solution at all, because it's not really, the problem is not really that you put anything into your mouth, it's the kinds of things that you put into your mouth. So if you focus on those things which God designed in the format closest to what God made, this really isn't a problem. If you eat fresh fruits and fresh vegetables, raw nuts, those kind of things, you really have to work hard to overeat. And it's very difficult to overeat, because if you eat too much of all that stuff, you get a lot of fiber in your system and it moves right through you. So that's the first thing I was talking to my buddy about. And what's interesting is, because this week I actually had somebody who was on the other side of the spectrum asked me again to explain about the fruits and vegetables thing, and I explained it to them again that it really is just not hard. You eat fresh fruits and fresh vegetables in the way God made them. I said you eat apples over applesauce because applesauce is already pre-digested, and so you're not really doing much work. And you eat raw nuts over nut butters. I mean, it's really not that hard. You eat the foods in the way God made them. Now, that pretty much excludes meat, unless you want to eat beef tartare. And there's, from what the nutritionist says, I'm not against meat. A lot of the meat that's available these days is pumped up on all sorts of antibiotics and growth hormones and those kind of things. So if you're going to eat meat, try to get meat from a local farmer, a local cattleman, or a local person who's raising chickens that aren't biologically and genetically engineered to grow faster on growth hormones. Just get good food. Anyways, enough with food. The other thing that I said to my buddy in the process of all this is I said the sadness here is that this is being played over and over and over and over again. And not to this extreme of anorexia, but certainly to this obsession over looks and being looked at and being attractive and purchasing the appropriate products. It's always amazing to me that some of the highest rated videos, as far as most watched on YouTube, are the videos where women are showing how to put on makeup. I mean, it's just, there is obviously a lot of energy and preoccupation with this. That first of all has been driven by this idea that if I can just look really good, then someone will take care of me. And is second of all driven by all the marketing effort there is in this country. But my observation to him was, how much time is being taken away from the women of America spent doing this, as opposed to being creative and inventive and focused and diligent in projects that they could undertake? How much time is being siphoned off? And as a result, what are we losing as a nation in terms of inventiveness, creativity, compositions, authoring, all these things which make life rich and make life an adventure and a quest and an epic? And it's getting siphoned off into these activities that really are nothing more than a hope to escape from life. Anyways, so that was one of the conclusions that I had come to last week. The reason that I didn't hit that conclusion, and the reason that I was sleep-deprived last week, is because what I was talking about at the end of the podcast last week had actually already occurred. But my daughter and son-in-law had requested that we not immediately make an announcement, that we let the news trickle out, because apparently there are some people that scan Facebook looking for new baby announcements or look for the signs in the yard, and then they come by and they steal things and provoke mischief. And so they were interested in just letting this gradually come out. But the fact is, I am now a grandfather. Yay! Yay! And precisely what I had mentioned last week is precisely what has come true. I had mentioned at the end of last week that Jillian Michaels is her name, the trainer who was on The Biggest Loser, that she had commented that she's never going to get pregnant because she couldn't imagine doing that to her body. And I had commented that I was grateful that I have a daughter who doesn't feel that same way, and I am grateful that most of the women in the human race don't feel that way, because we would quickly come to an abrupt end if most of the women felt so compelled to worry about the shakeup of their bodies that they wouldn't want to get pregnant. I had also mentioned last week that there is such a tremendous benefit that is beyond the obvious changes that come to a woman's body in pregnant, in that there is such tremendous joy that comes from the birth of a new baby, that even in the minds of mothers, thankfully, it outweighs that which has gone before for 9 months. Because again, if it didn't outweigh it, we would be back in the situation of the human race ending abruptly. But it's really been fascinating to watch this whole process over the last week, and really the process just prior to the birth. My daughter started having contractions last Wednesday, June 2nd. Her and her hubby just took it easy for the whole day. Annette and I and everyone else had been telling them, rest, rest, get as much rest as you can, because when this baby comes, it's all over. So your life is going to be radically changed when this baby gets here. And so they took that advice, and Alan had actually done some resting earlier in the week. He had just come off, as I mentioned yesterday, of a youth retreat, and my daughter had spent the weekend with us, and he wisely took a couple of days to rest afterwards. On Wednesday, then, Lizzie started having contractions. They tracked them all day. She went into the hospital, I think, about 4 o'clock that Wednesday, June 2nd. He had called me to let me know. I called and let my wife know. She already had a commitment at church with a women's ministries group. I told her, sweetie, just go to church. There will be time. This is Lizzie's first baby. It's going to take a while. And so she went on to church. I went and got my daughter and son-in-law's dogs, brought them out to our house, because we had already agreed that we were going to do that. And so I got the dogs. I took a shower because I wasn't sure when I was going to be able to get back to a shower. I eventually made it down to the hospital at 7 o'clock. It was shortly after that that Elizabeth, the biological mom, came in. She's my first wife. And, you know, we just had a wonderful time chatting and reflecting and talking about babies and talking about God. The fact of the matter is, we had made a decision early on that Lizzie was not going to be in the middle of the breakup of our relationship. And so I've always encouraged Liz to have a good relationship with her biological mom. She does have a good relationship. I've always tried to maintain a good relationship with Susan. And, you know, it's a really wonderful thing to be able to just sit and talk and to share moments together. And then my wife came about 8:15, and we all gabbed and talked, and we had some friends come, and Lynette's parents, my wife's parents, came, oh, I don't know, about 10:30 or so, and we all just sat around and talked and waited for news, you know, and the baby was finally delivered about 1:53 on Wednesday morning. Thursday morning, 1:53 on Thursday morning. And it was so fun to stand outside when we finally knew it was okay for us to come. It was so fun to stand outside that birthing room waiting for little final things to be done, and to hear that baby open up her lungs and begin to cry and to breathe life. I mean, I teared up, but my wife, Lynette, she completely lost it. I mean, she said, I didn't think I'd be this emotional. And she just started crying because it's life. It's a wonderful, amazing thing. And you see this little baby that, in the mysteries of life, is formed. And all her little toes are in place, and all her little fingers are in place. This beautiful little baby that has been growing inside my daughter for the last 9 months and now is in the world. And grandparents are rejoicing, and our friends are rejoicing. While my daughter's obviously tired from the effort, you know, she's staring at this baby, loving this baby. My son-in-law's loving this baby. I mean, it's just a wonderful thing to see all of the joy. But, you know, all of that joy comes out of some self-sacrifice. I mean, it is a part of this life. And I was telling my kids when they were going into this, expect this to be hard. This is not going to be easy. This is a principle of life that through pain, joy comes. I had also told them, you know, take comfort in some fact. I'm getting my mail. Take comfort in some fact that this subsystem has been working for thousands and 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 thousands of years. And it has worked billions of times. True, there are a few little hitches in the get along. Sometimes things don't go quite as well as they could. But you know, it works. The subsystem works. And then on Sunday, my parents are a little older and they drive just a little bit, and so they hadn't come down. Well, on Sunday, I didn't tell them, but Liz and Alan went ahead and brought over Clara, is her name, brought Clara over for them to see Clara. And my mom was so thrilled. I'm backing into the garage. My mom was so thrilled. She just sat and looked at the baby and looked at the baby. It's her first great-grandchild. And just looked and looked and looked. And then she sat and Alan, my son-in-law, swaddled up Clara and put her in my mom's arms. And my mom held Clara for a while, and I mean, she was just enthralled. And I was talking to my mom yesterday, because I call her every Wednesday to confirm with her which house we're going to for dinner, and she started in again. She said, oh, that baby. She said, that was so nice of them to come over and bring the baby. She said, I love that baby. I mean, our whole clan is just enthralled. And there's such joy because my daughter and my son-in-law decided to have a child, and because they were willing to go through this process, which was inconvenient and sometimes painful. And yet they sacrificed a part of themselves and will sacrifice a part of themselves for the next 18, 20 years because of their love for children whom they hadn't even had yet. And it's really an amazing thing to watch. And in a larger context, there are rewards in life. There are deep, joyous, amazing rewards in life that come no other way than by sacrifice or service or diligence perseverance. There aren't a whole lot of shortcuts in life that put you someplace that's really worth being. And if there's one thing, you know, I've seen again out of all of this, is that sometimes, most of the time, I should say, the true joy in life is going to come from those things that are difficult. But when you make it through them, there's a whole lot of good on the other side of it. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.